BBC News with Marion Marshall. Two American envoys have met the Syrian Foreign Minister, Walid al-Mualim, in the first visit to Damascus by high-ranking US officials in more than 4 years. One of the envoys, Jeffrey Feltman, said the discussions had been constructive and had been not about finger-pointing, but about identifying areas of mutual concern. Natalia Antilava reports from Beirut.
The Syrian government has played down the significance of the talks between the U.S. diplomats and the Syrian Minister of Foreign Affairs. One Syrian official who wanted to remain anonymous said Damascus didn't want to make a big deal of the talks and that the government was treating them with great caution. Over the last few days, Obama administration officials have repeatedly said that while they want to engage with Damascus, they also have real concerns about the role of Syria in the region and its support for groups like Hamas and Hezbollah.
Palestinian Prime Minister Salam Fayyad has submitted his cabinet's resignation to make way for a government of national unity. The rival Hamas movement has welcomed the decision, which Mr. Fayyad said would take effect after a unity government was formed. The announcement follows the relaunch last month of reconciliation talks between Hamas and the Fatah party of the Palestinian president, Mahmoud Abbas. A British resident freed from Guantanamo Bay last month has released more details which, he says, support his claims that the British Security Service, MI5, colluded in his interrogation by the CIA. Ethiopian-born Binyam Mohammed has given a British newspaper what he says are two telegrams sent by MI5 to the CIA after he'd been transferred to Morocco in 2002. The director of the civil rights group Liberty, Shami Chakravarti, explained why the telegrams were so crucial as far as she was concerned.
The telegrams suggest that while they didn't know where he was, they did know he was under CIA control and they were asking the Americans to interrogate him in a certain way. Now that to me looks very much like a smoking gun. And whether I'm right or not about that, it's certainly more than enough to call the police in. So I think what this does is to make an immediate criminal investigation absolutely inescapable.
Zimbabwe's Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai has gone to Botswana to recuperate after the car crash on Friday in which he suffered minor injuries and his wife was killed. A source close to Mr. Tsvangirai said the Prime Minister needed time to rest and come to terms with what had happened, stressing that his departure from Zimbabwe had nothing to do with security concerns. The MDC's Secretary General Tendai Biti, who's now also Zimbabwe's Finance Minister, speculated that the accident could have been avoided.
The police are making investigations. We are also carrying our own independent investigations. We'll be making the necessary amendments, so the announcements in due course. There are certain things that could have helped to avoid this thing, and one of them is clearly forerunning police escort.
BBC News. The Sudanese president, Omar al-Bashir, says he'll travel to Darfur on Sunday, his first visit to the region since the International Criminal Court issued a warrant for his arrest. Mr. al-Bashir has been accused of committing war crimes in Darfur, a charge he denies. Mary Harper reports.
President al-Bashir told a rally in Khartoum that if anybody wanted to fight him, they should come directly to Sudan instead of issuing arrest warrants from afar. His decision to travel to the Darfuri town of al-Fashir on Sunday is a clear sign of defiance in the face of international pressure for him to be tried for war crimes allegedly committed in the region. He's been accused by the International Criminal Court of murder, rape, torture and pillage.
The Argentine President Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner has announced a 50% cut in the tax paid by the country's wine growers who sell their wines abroad. President Fernandez said the move was aimed at helping the nation's wine growers offset the effects of the global financial crisis. She also announced that the Inter-American Development Bank would be releasing $50 million in aid for small wineries. A film about Ethiopia, under the rule of its exiled former military leader Mengistu Haile Mariam, has won the top prize at the Pan-African Film and Television Festival in Burkina Faso. Tezza, by the Ethiopian-born director Haile Gerima, beat 19 other entries. James Copnell reports from Rabat.
The Ethiopian film Tezza was a popular winner of Africa's top film award, the Inenga Stallion. It's the story of a doctor who returns to his country determined to help develop it. But once back in Ethiopia, he's confronted with the repressive regime of the dictator Mengistu and a number of difficult moral choices. A Moroccan film, No Lieux Interdits, or Our Forbidden Places, won Best Documentary. It dealt with a common theme here, getting justice for victims of past abuses.
BBC World Service News.